Thank you, Brother Dan. Good evening. I'd like to welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And I would like also to thank my brother Dan for giving me this opportunity to speak this evening. And I would like to thank each and every one of you for your support and your prayers in the missionary work. Without it, we couldn't do it. So it is a lot of work, but there is a lot of joy. He's right. The people do love it. They love to hear the gospel. They love to study. So we're very thankful to be a servant of the Lord. I hope that I can do justice this evening to the Lord's word. I don't know how to preach in English, really. All of my preaching is Spanish. About 330 days a year, I preach in Spanish, so I got to learn English again. So anyways, and this evening, we're going to talk about our relationship with Christ. And for that, we're going to go to John chapter 15, and we're going to start reading verses 1 through 11. This chapter will always be a profound spiritual instruction, if for no other reason, the many I ams that are in it. Each one of them is a tree of life, as big as God's word, and are loaded with the fruits of God's grace. All of God's words, of course, are forever and in culmination. The breath of life has been breathed into them, which means they will live forever. The Bible tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word never will. So we have security in the word of Christ. We could divide chapter 15 into three different sections. Tonight we're going to just study the verses. Actually, we're going to read 1 through 17, but we're going to start 1 through 11. And after we read them, please keep your finger in there or hold or mark it or something, because we're going to study them after we read them. And then after that, we'll be going back and forth to a couple of other verses in other books. But the main thing is that we understand what we're reading. I'm going to start with verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Here we have a relationship of life. I am the true vine, you are the branches. The connection is vital. Each branch is made a participant of the vine. As by his grace, we are made participants of the divinity. When we are planted in him, that is the vine. He is the life of mankind and the plenitude of the physical deity. I'm going to ask you to watch your place and turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 11. And it says, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Jesus Christ is the eternal life. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven without it." And this introduces us to total dependence. We're going to go back to John 15, verse 4. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." The main purpose of the branch is not to see how much life it can pull out of the tree. It's to bring fruit. That is the main purpose, is that the branch bring forth fruit. The whole purpose of the branch is to bring fruit. What must this branch do to bring forth fruit? It must remain attached to the tree. We can't cut the branch off of the tree and expect it to give fruit. It'll wither up and die, and then it'll be cast into the fire and burned. For us to be fruitful in the Lord, we must remain permanently attached to Jesus Christ at all times. So the Holy Spirit and Christ's Word will continually remain in us. And this brings us to cooperation. Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Jesus said, I am the true vine. As the true vine, he desires that the Father be glorified in the tenacity of those that as branches are tied to him through loving faith." Being made participants of his grace through the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in water and we receive, have the laying on of hands for reception of the Holy Ghost, we are then tied to Jesus Christ. It's our job to obey his commandments. We're not just getting baptized to get in the water. It is important that we keep our strength and our mind set on what we did and why we did it. I'm sure that we all, when we got baptized, knew why we were getting baptized. It wasn't to go swimming. Turn with me to the third book of Nephi, but save your place. Chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 29 through 31. 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verses 29 through 31. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom." So we can see that we must be baptized. Clearly, we must remain firm in the gospel if we want salvation. It also tells us that no unclean thing, no sin, can enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to think about that. We need to have that on our minds each day of our lives.
Pardon? That's chapter 12.
I'm sorry, I got the wrong chapter on there. I wrote it down myself, so I'm at fault. Excuse me, it's chapter 12 that I was reading. I'm sorry. I heard my brother flipping pages over here, and I thought I must have did something wrong. So. Okay. Anyway, if we don't endure to the end, it says we will be hewn down and cast into the everlasting fire. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. And it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As God's approval is to work in us or in our lives, it will be because of his will and pleasure, not ours. For that to happen, we need to be firm in the gospel. Let's go back to the 15th chapter of John, verse 6. And it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. A branch that is sterile is a dishonor to the vine, but one that brings forth fruit brings honor to the vine. It's the same with us. If we're Christians and we bring forth not fruit, we are disgraced to the name of our Lord. But if we bring forth fruit, then we bring honor to the Lord, name of our Lord. It's important that we understand that we need to bring this honor to the name of our Lord. The question is, are we bringing honor to the name of our Lord? Are we actually doing what he has demanded us in the scriptures? Are we obeying what he's taught us, what we've been taught? Or are we living with one foot in and one foot out? I try to always let people understand, mostly where I go, the people haven't heard the gospel. So I try to make everything really clear. And I try to make them understand, you cannot live in the world and be a Christian. You have to make your mind up. Because even if you call yourself a Christian and you live in the world, it's not going to get you to heaven. We have to keep that in mind. But if we are fruitful, we are promised that we will have great possibilities. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You did understand that that was verse 7 of chapter 15, right? We're still there. We're still on chapter 15. Who of us has tried the spiritual potential that resides in these few and simple words? Not very many. It's important. And let me just say that if his word abides in us, if we ask for something, it will be of his will. We're not going to ask for something that doesn't go in accordance with what he likes, because his spirit is in us. And we have to ask something good. We can't ask for something that's evil or something that's wrong. It's important to understand that. We're going to go back to verse 4. In verse 4 it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. When our lives are joined to Christ, it puts in our reach things that we could never reach before we had the Spirit, before we received the Holy Spirit. There's much that we could never understand, much that we could never do, because we were not part of Christ. I have to say that I hear a lot of people who are not Christian say, "Our Father, whom art in heaven." But have we thought that if we have not been baptized and received the Holy Spirit, He is not our Father? He's not our spiritual Father. So we have to think about that. It's important. When our lives are joined to Christ, it gives us power. Power that we've never known before. Gives us understanding of the Scriptures. Paul understood the power of them when he said in Philippians 4:13. Is that the way that's pronounced, brother? Philippians, is that the way it's pronounced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." These are powerful words. We need to absorb them like a sponge so we can understand. We can also do all things through Christ that strengthen us. But we have to have faith. But we also have to be living the way we should. We can't just be halfway Christians and expect God to work through us. It won't work. It won't happen. So this brings us to our mutual relationship. For that, we're going to read 12 through 17 of John 15. We're going to continue right down from where we're at on John 15, 12 through 17. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." In these verses, we can see the importance that our Lord and Savior puts on our love of one another, not just for him, but for each other. We have to have that love in our hearts for each and every one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Very important. One of the main things in being a Christian is our mutual love one for another, right? I'm going to ask you to turn with me, and don't lose your page. Turn with me to John 17:21. And this is the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. I thought it would be good to read that. Verse 21, John 17, verse 21. And he said, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." As Christians, we are significantly tied one to another. Not just to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but to each other. We are a family. When we are baptized, we become a family of Christ. Here we have unity of life. Each branch is possessed by the same intelligence and relies on the same fountain of life. A spiritual life governed by the only Godhead that controls the entire body of Christ. Who can tell me what the body of Christ is? We are the body of Christ. His children, we are his body. And he controls us. Christ is our life. When we are baptized, we are all born of the same Spirit. I think we can all agree on that. And that makes us one family. Each and every one of us are a member of Christ's family. This brings us to the unity of love. Chapter 15 again, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." To love one another as Christ loved us is to love with the love that God has placed on our hearts. It's not a superficial love. It's a love that's in here. And we have to have that love if we want salvation. We have to have that love if we're really Christians. God's love is undeserved, incomparable, and it's eternal. It'll never quit. It'll never go away. We love him because he first loved us. We know that because he gave his only begotten Son that we might have salvation when we were still lost in sin. So, if we really have the love of Christ in us, what will we do? We won't wait until somebody decides to love us before we love them. We will persist in loving them first. It's very important to love one another. God wants us to love one another. 1 John 4:21, save your places, we're going to come back. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Very important to God, this love for one another. We're going to look at one more verse before we go back. John 13:35. And it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Having love one for another is the universal sign of a Christian. Why? Because if we don't have love, we can't be Christians. We're really not. We may claim to be, but if we do not have love one for another, we cannot be Christians. Jesus Christ said we must love one another. So this brings us to the unity of friendship. And for this, I'm going to read John 15, verse 15, and then I'm going to read verse 10. And it says, "Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Verse 10. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." As we can see in these verses, obeying his commandments constitutes the essence of this holy friendship. Is that correct? That's the way I understand it. I'm going to jump one more time. I'm going to go over to Matthew 12, verse 50. Matthew 12, verse 50. And it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, and my sister, and my mother." In other words, by our obedience to God's will, we are introduced to this divine friendship or brotherhood. I don't know how you want to call it. Where the secrets of our Lord become made common knowledge to us. He lets us in on a lot of stuff that we would never know before. It's important that we understand that. It was because of Abraham's obedience to God that God asked himself, and you don't have to turn there, in Genesis 18, 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? I think not. So this brings us to unity of works. We're going to go to verse 16, 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We're still in John 15, just in case somebody didn't get that. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Our unity of life and privilege takes us to unity of service. When we belong to the Lord, he has something for us to do. I don't care if we're ministry or not. We all have the obligation to help others come unto Christ. It's our job. But we have been chosen and designated to take the fruit of the character of Christ throughout our lives for the glory of God, not for our own, for his. Where this truth is known, there's no room for envy or jealousy. If my brother Dan was able to bring 100 souls to the Lord, and I was only able to bring one or two, I would be overjoyed because God is praised. God gets glory. God is honored. And this is all about God. It has nothing to do with our desires. It has to do with God. It is important that we understand that. I'm going to read the last line from Hosea 14:8, where Ephraim says, for me is thy fruit found. I hope that there is much fruit found from each and every one of us, that our examples bring many to our Lord. I don't care how many sermons are given up here. Our example will bring many more people than this sermon or any sermon given will bring. There's many people who are very good at sermons, and they can probably help a lot of people a lot better than I can. But our example, each and every one of us, is more important than all the sermons, because I will say, for example, if we come in here and we claim to be Christians, and there was a bar across the street, we go over there and have a beer, are we helping anybody come to Christ? No. We're running them off. Our example is what people see. How we live, how we talk, how we act is most important in our lives. It's most important in bringing many to the Lord. And our job on this earth, as Christians, is to help people come to Christ, that many souls might be saved. It is important that we get this and that we do this. I ask that each and every one of us check ourselves, as Paul mentioned, to see if we're really Christians. Or are we half Christians? It's important to know where we really stand, and it's important to be honest with ourselves. The first thing we have to do to really be a Christian is be honest with our own selves. We can't lie to ourselves and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course, I'm doing a lot of things I shouldn't, but I'm still a Christian. I study the scriptures. I hear sermons. I sing. I praise the Lord. Of course, I do a lot of other things. I won't fly. The Lord does not appreciate that. So my concern here is that everybody examine ourselves, that we might see if we're really doing what we're supposed to do. I hope that in a small way, I know that each and every one of you know these scriptures by heart, but I hope that I have reminded you of these things, that sometimes we get busy and they kind of slide away from us. It's important for us to recognize each and everything that we do. I thank you for your time. God bless you. My brother.